141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The festive period's coming to a close and that means the transfer window is open. So if you were in charge of the January sales at your club, who would you like to see come and go? Brendan Rodgers hinted at a revolving door following the 0-0 draw between Celtic and Rangers on Saturday. Eric Sviatchenko looks to be on his way out as Andy Halliday looks set to return to Ibrox. And it may well be the winter break for the top flight, but it's been derby day in the lower leagues as St Mirren's lead at the top of the Championship is cut. I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Roger Hanna and Gordon Diehl. On behalf of everyone at Clyde One Super Scoreboard, a happy new year to you and a happy new year to you too, gentlemen.
Happy
Are you well?
Year. Happy new year.
Raring to go?
Absolutely.
No winter break for us, no warm weather training camp.
No. It's not very warm in here.
Isn't actually, I'm just looking, the heating's been fixed, you'll all be pleased to know. So Gordon Diehl doesn't have his husky gear on tonight, but it's feeling a bit chilly. Anyway, 0141 951 1025 to get in touch on the phones. You know what it's like at this time of year. We've had the football a couple of days ago in the top flight on Saturday, so by all means, get in touch, give us your thoughts after the game between Celtic and Rangers, anything else that may be on your mind. And like I said at the top, here's the scenario. You are in charge of the January sales at your club. Who would you like to see come and go? Roger, I think any time the transfer window opens, there's always an expectation that it's going to be significant.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of any club, you always hope you're going to wheel and deal and turn your season around. What can you expect in the next couple of weeks?
Well, Brendan Rodgers used the word revolving door at Celtic. So I think that will mean, as well as players coming in, Marvin Compere, probably Lewis Morgan, possibly more, there will be players going out of Celtic as well. And you would see from the performance at the weekend that the players, the squad needs something more added to it. It's going to be a big second half of the season for Celtic. They've still got the Europa League to deal with, as well as the defence of the treble. So I think it'll be a busy month at Celtic Park, and a busy month at Ibrox as well, Gordon. Andy Halliday coming back from Gabala in Azerbaijan, Michael O'Halloran coming back from St Johnstone. There will be other players coming into that squad as well, because the bench at Celtic Park at the weekend, albeit David Bates came off it and was outstanding, the bench looked a little threadbare to me, and I think Graham Murta realises that.
Gordon, because we always speculate, we put the microscope over managers all the time here on how they're performing and how they're getting the best results or not out of their team. But this is another part of the job that we only get to see once or twice a year. Recruitment, you know, managers are judged heavily on the recruitment, and we only get to see it during these windows. So this is another one of those times where it'll be interesting to see who can come up with what. And that's not just Celtic and Rangers, but naturally that's where a lot of the focus in this city goes.
I sometimes think that the January window is the hardest, Gordon, because you're dealing with players that probably other clubs are not really wanting, and you know, you're bringing them in. It's a gamble. I agree with Rogers. Roger there, I think that both Rangers and Celtic will add. You look at Aberdeen, Niall McGinn coming back, that's a good signing for Derek McInnes as well. So it's going to be really interesting over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But Rogers right, if you look at Rangers' bench at the weekend, it was very, very thin. They've got a few players missing with injury, and Graham Murta will be desperate to stamp his own authority on the team and bring in one or two of his own players. But who he's going to bring in is another thing.
It's interesting because, as you say, January has been renowned as a difficult time to get the players in. But you've touched on a great signing already, Niall McGinn back at Aberdeen. Hibernian have signed Scott Bain from Dundee, who I think is an excellent goalkeeper and I think will become number one for Hibs. So Rangers, if they're going to see off Aberdeen and Hibs for second place in the Premiership, I think they're going to have to get moving and get more players in.
I totally agree, Roger. Even if you look at, you know, Graham Murta took a lot of pats in the back for his second half performance, and, you know, another point at Celtic Park. But out of 12 points, they've only picked up 4. Yeah. So they need strengthened if they're going to challenge for second place.
I was just going to say, of course, you look at Motherwell, there's Louis Moult away, paraded before the Preston North End game yesterday. Stephen Robinson clearly unhappy with, you know, his striking resources at the minute. I think, is it 2 points from 21 in the Premiership, you know, since that League Cup final? Motherwell are another team who need to do something and do it fast.
This goes out to fans of any club then. If you're in charge of the January sales at your club, who would you like to see come and go? We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as always, and of course on the phone lines 0141 951 1025. Tonight's first caller is Tom in Falkirk. Hi Tom, how are you?
I'm great, happy new year to you.
Yes, same to you
happy
Tom.
Happy new year Tom.
To yourself Gordon and the legend Gordon Dale and to Roger. And I hope it's a great new year for you all guys.
Yep, same thing.
Also for all the listeners. Now, obviously I've been on a few times. And I was to talk about the game, the Rangers game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I've got a few points. My first point is I thought Danny Wilson, that's the best game since I've seen him play since he came back to Ibrox. So I thought he was really, really good. And I thought I thought Tavernier was very good. Also, my point about bringing Andy Halliday back, I don't know why they're bringing him back, because I didn't think he was particularly brilliant when he was at Ibrox under Warburton. I'd rather see him, they thought about the transfer, try and get Kenny McLean in, if possible. But I'd also quite happy about getting Michael O'Halloran back, because some of the crosses, if you can play him every week, some of the crosses could be a really good for Morelos to get in the hold on the end of. I just wish Morelos had managed to get a couple of the shots they had away on Saturday in the back of the net, but it wasn't to be. So possibly they need another centre forward. I don't know what the answer is, boys. It's just to see what you think.
I was going to take those points one by one, Roger. If you think about the first name mentioned, I think it was Andy Halliday.
Danny Wilson.
Danny Wilson first. Go on then. Danny Wilson.
Well, I tend to agree with you, Tom. Danny Wilson under Mark Warburton, I had great sympathy for Danny Wilson, because Danny Wilson and Rob Kiernan, as it was at the time, were quite often left dreadfully exposed, because Martin Warburton loved both his fullbacks to bomb forward at the same time and didn't really have much of a holding midfield player. And Wilson and Kiernan get dreadful criticism, but a lot of the time, you know, they were two against three or four attackers, and it was very difficult. You look at the team now, the way Graham Murty sets the Rangers team up now is not dissimilar to the way the Rangers team was set up when Danny Wilson first came into it under Walter Smith, I think it was, where there's protection for the two centre-halves. It's now young Ross McCrory, who's doing an excellent job at the minute, just in front of those two centre-halves. When one full-back goes, you tend to see the other one stays now, and that gives protection on the other side as well. So Wilson, for me, I agree with you, is getting better, and if Scotland ever appoint a new manager, I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Wilson's international career had a wee bit left to go in it.
Yeah, I've seen a big improvement in him. I think Saturday, you look at the experience at Alves and you're looking for a lot more to help guys like Danny Wilson. I thought Bates, when he come on, made a huge difference. The two of them looked very comfortable at centre-back against guys like Dembele and obviously Lee Griffiths. I thought they played very well together, and I think that's a future partnership. Danny Wilson is having his best spell. He's playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, I think Roger's right that he'll be chapping at the Scotland door soon.
What about Andy Halliday, Roger? Because that's the sort of newsworthy piece, if you will. It was in the back page of your newspaper today. What do you make of him coming back?
I think it's a sensible move. You know, nobody's saying Andy Halliday, you know, Tom said he wasn't that keen on him. Nobody's saying Andy Halliday's the best player that Rangers have ever seen. Far from it. But I think when you look at the squad just now, I think if Andy Halliday comes back, if it was a game tomorrow, Andy Halliday would be involved in the 18. So it's a case of bolstering the squad. That's why Halliday's back. That's why O'Halloran's back. They're decent players. They've shown in the past what they're capable of. And if Andy Halliday plays to his best, I think he would be an asset to this Rangers squad.
Gordon, what about that? Because a quick look at social media tells you Andy Halliday is one who still really, really divides opinion amongst the Rangers fans. Everyone acknowledges that he's a big Rangers fan and he cares passionately about the club. Some people will say that's enough to get him back, get him in there, because he's no worse than the other midfielders we've got and we need numbers. But I see other opinion out there saying, you know, well, whether he loves the club or not, he wasn't good enough in his last spell. It's not particularly been a successful loan period in Azerbaijan, so not too sure of the point. Which camp do you sit in?
I'm not his greatest fan. I think you put a few points out there, Gordon. Yes, we all know he's a Rangers fan. He would love to play for a jersey. He loves playing for a club. I think you need a bit more quality if you're going to be up there trying to challenge the likes of Aberdeen and, you know, with Hibs in the background and under Neil Lennon playing some good stuff. I think you need better in there. And I think it is a case of he's coming back for numbers, Because if you look at their midfield, Ryan Jack, Doran, people like that, all missing at the weekend. So he's another jersey filler, but I don't think he's got the quality to be in the team week in, week out, and go and challenge for second place.
Two words for you, Daz. Carlos Penner. Who would you rather have, Andy Halliday or Carlos Penner?
Probably none. I would probably I wouldn't play any two of them. But if you gave me the choice, I don't think Carlos Penner has contributed anything.
You look at the weekend there. I think that team that Graham Murty played was getting his best 11 players onto the park. Mm-hmm. Now Cranshaw at Celtic Park in the heat of an Old Firm derby was always going to run out of steam, and he did. He actually lasted longer than I thought he might have done. But at that stage, they really had little alternative but to put on Carlos Penner. I think Andy Halliday would have been a better option off the bench had he been there, and that's why he's coming back.
Well, I agree that he's coming back because they need numbers, Roger. They need players in there. As I say, everybody's got their own opinion about players. I'm just looking to see, is he the kind of quality that the Rangers fans want and the Rangers manager wants to go and push for second place? I don't think he is that sort of quality.
Yeah, I'm sure lots of Rangers fans out there will have an opinion on that one. What do you make of the news Andy Halliday is on his way back? 0141 951 1025. Happy or not with that news? Tom, do you have another point to make?
The service you called has cleared.
I'm going to take that as a no from Tom in Falkirk there. Let's hear a bit from Graham Murty. Tom kind of kicked off the call there, talking about the performance on Saturday. He then covered off on a number of other points. Let's hear from what Graham Murty had to say after that game. He said he was proud of his players for the part they played in the 0-0 draw. The Ibrox side, of course, went to the game as massive underdogs, but came away with the point in a game I suppose both sides really could have won if you look at the chances. And Murty was a happy man at the end.
I'm proud of them all. I said earlier that players need to feel trusted. They need to feel belief from the manager. I trust them all. I believe in them all. I've sat here in front of you guys in worse surroundings after a worse result, and so I said that it's not going to change. The players know I believe in them. They know I trust them. So when you have to throw someone like David Bates on, you know he's not going to let you down. He's going to give you everything that he has. Ross the same. And I thought that to a man from back to front, that's what they gave us. That's what they need to understand. That is the standard. And if they do that and show that spirit, who knows where we could go.
It was obvious.
In a lot of pain. He's on crutches at the moment in a boot. It's far too soon to assess, but he's in a lot of discomfort at the moment. I'm going to go back in and see. I think it's either his calf or his ankle. I'm sitting here woefully underinformed. I do apologise. I was a bit caught up. I'm not going to talk about anyone who is employed by another football club. That goes to players or staff, I'm afraid. Sorry, that's not my place.
That's the other side of it, Roger. Expecting not so much a transfer, but a new addition to the Rangers coaching team. We mentioned it in the show on Saturday that Jimmy Nicol was set to move to Rangers. Hasn't happened yet, hasn't been confirmed yet, but still something you very much expect to happen.
Yeah, I think it will happen. I would imagine Jimmy Nicol would be with Rangers when they head over to Florida at the weekend for this Florida Cup. He's not been back in Scottish football too long, only a couple of months since Paul Hartley, you know, came back with him into Falkirk. He's a man Daz knows very well. They won the League Cup together with Raith Rovers back in the day. He has a long and distinguished coaching CV, which of course includes the European Championships a couple of years ago with Northern Ireland, Michael O'Neill's staff there. Highly rated spells with Jimmy Calderwood at the likes of Dunfermline, at the likes of Aberdeen as well. He's worked down south. I was actually quite surprised. It wasn't an obvious type of guy, you know, to bring in along with Graham Murty and Jonathan Johansson. But perhaps they're just looking for that more experienced voice just to help them through.
Remember just a couple of minutes ago when Gordon DL said, let's not get carried away with Rangers getting the point because they've still only got 4 points from the last four games. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember it, Roger?
I do.
The Real Deal has tweeted in to say, the panellists are forgetting it's only 4 points from four games. So I don't think we are, but nope. If you didn't hear it, there we are. I don't mind repeating it a second time.
Listen, you also said it a few times in the show on Saturday, just when, you know, when Rangers fans were getting excited about the point off the back of the win against Motherwell, you were pointing out those two back-to-back defeats, the Kilmarnock game, the St Johnstone game, and just, you know, just confirm what everyone knows, that is that the Rangers do still have work to do.
We are on Twitter as well, 01419511025. Why not get through? It's the start of a new year. I'm sure people are not, maybe not quite back to work yet. Want to chat about the football? Why not give us a call? Danny Shaw's on Twitter. He says he's got quite a long wish list here, Danny. I'm assuming he's a Rangers fan. He says get rid of Alves, Peña and Kranjčar. Not worth the money. Try to get Jason Cummings. And then he goes on to talk about some of Rangers' youngsters. That'll be the thing, Roger, because people tend to look for players coming in. They're the ones that grab the headlines. But if you're trying to move players out, it's sometimes easier said than done. And I appreciate that's what Danny may like to see, but it's not always that simple to just move these players out.
It's not always simple, particularly when they're on good money, as those players that Danny mentioned on Twitter are. They are on good money. Jason Cummings is an interesting one because not involved at all in the 18 for Nottingham Forest against Leeds United yesterday, with Gary Brazil in charge of Forest. An increasingly peripheral figure in the last weeks of Mark Warburton's reign at the City Ground, but for me, a player who can contribute. I saw someone on Twitter saying he's a player that Hearts should go for. There's Danny there saying he's a player that Rangers should go for. You could almost see parallels with Jason Cummings' situation with Lee Griffiths when Lee Griffiths went to Wolves. This was a guy who had scored goals up here, had looked terrific up here, went to the English Championship and did nothing. Came back up here to Hibs and then Celtic and looks like a superstar. So you just wonder if Jason Cummings has maybe been the wrong move to the wrong club at the wrong time. But if he was to come back to a Rangers or a Hearts or maybe even back to Hibs, I think Jason Cummings would be a terrific acquisition for someone in the Scottish Premiership.
On the subject of Andy Halliday, Shane is on Twitter. He says, indifferent to be honest about Halliday coming back. We're short on numbers, and unless we're going to be signing a couple of midfielders in the window, then we need the best possible players we have in our squad back to fill those numbers. So that, I guess, Gordon, that sort of echoes what you two were saying. Not the suggestion that Andy Halliday's going to walk back in here, walk into the Rangers starting 11 and somehow win them the league. It's more about looking at the squad at the moment and trying where possible to get a bit more strength and depth.
Yeah, that's what he's all about. He's going to fill a jersey. It'll be numbers. He'll give the Rangers manager different options, Gordon, if he has to put him in there in the middle of the park. I think they are a bit weak in the middle of the park, especially with their two main players, Ryan Jack missing, obviously Graham Doran's missing. So they need a bit of strength in there. And I think Roger, is right about Jason Cummings. I think that a lot of Rangers fans would like to see him coming up to Ibrox, because I think he'll certainly score goals in Scotland. He's got good movement. He's a good player. Yes, he's not had the greatest time down at Forest, but he's a guy that'll score goals, and Rangers could do with
him. I'm actually surprised at the furore over Halliday. I thought, for me, far more interesting is going to be how Michael O'Halloran performs when he comes back to Rangers, because I've seen Michael O'Halloran this season in a St Johnstone jersey, and he looks a transformed player again. But the last time he put on a Rangers jersey, it seemed way too big for him. He just didn't look as if he could handle it. He looked a totally inferior player to the one who had starred at St Johnstone. So he'll get a chance in the second half of the season, but this could be the real crux of Michael O'Halloran's career, whether he can take this chance in the second half of the season.
But it's where you play him, Roger. It's,
where would you play him?
I would play him through the middle. I don't think he's got terrific pace, a lad. He can score goals, as he showed when he went up to St Johnstone. But you're right, there's big question marks. Can he handle playing for a club the size of Rangers? Some people can't do it. And it's up to him now. He's coming back. He's probably coming back with a lot of confidence. Different manager. He knows that he will get an opportunity. Yeah, I would like to see him playing up through the middle. I think that's his best position. And then it's up to him to try and take that opportunity.
And you see the way Rangers have played away from home, particularly in the big games, the way they played at Murrayfield when they won, the way they played at Easter Road when they won, the way they played at Pittodrie when they won, at Celtic Park, the point at the weekend. A lot of it is, strong defending and then striking with pace on the break, Windass's pace, the pace of Candeas. Add O'Halloran into that, and you could see he could fit into Graham Murphy's team.
Okay, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. Remember the comment he made about the revolving door? Well, Eric Sviatchenko looks like he could be on his way out. Celtic fans, what do you make of that? What else do you want to see come in the way during January? And have you been keeping tabs on Lewis Morgan? He's had another busy day in the Championship. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on the first Clyde One Super Scoreboard of 2018. Why not get in touch? Let us know what you want for your club during the January sales. Who do you want to see come into your club? Who do you want to see leave? Get in touch 0141 951 1025 or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. It's been a busy day in the Championship and the lower leagues as well. We're going to take a closer look at the Renfrewshire derby between Morton and St Mirren a bit later on in the programme. But in the meantime, let's talk about Brendan Rodgers' comments at the weekend. Roger, he suggested the phrase he used. In fact, let's just hear from him. You don't want to hear me try and paraphrase him. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. This is him speaking after the 0-0 draw at the weekend. He talks a bit about the game and then what can be expected in the transfer window.
It's one where it's very much about the team. I'm not worried about the individuals. And, you know, I think that, you know, we always put out what we think is the best team. And, of course, when you win, it's right. If you don't, then there's always questions asked against it. But no, we put out what we felt was the best team to win. And what's important now, like I've said before, is the guys that come off the bench. You know, that also gives you that impetus. And have you got good players to come off the bench? So Lee came into the game, did well. But I felt overall, like I say, in particular second half, we weren't maybe as creative as what we normally are.
Do you expect to have some fresh faces in before you leave next week, or is are you giving yourself a bit of breathing space over the month to?
Well, we'll see. I think that firstly the players that have been with us now need that recovery and need that rest, and there'll be work done for us. We want to improve that strength and depth in the group. So and there'll probably be players going out as well, Gordon, that want to go out and play and get games. So it'll be a revolving door, I'm sure, over the course of the month of January, but certainly we want to strengthen you.
A revolving door, says Brendan Rodgers. Celtic fans, a very simple question for you. Who do you want to see come into the club and who do you want to see leave the club during the transfer window? 0141 951 1025. Roger, I suppose the one that's most topical is Eric Sviatchenko. Won't come as a huge surprise based on the fact that he's really not featured recently, but what do you make of the news that he has been told he can find another club?
Yeah, unsurprising. Marvin Kompare coming into the club from RB Leipzig. Chris Avarajar, one of Celtic's better players, I thought, at the weekend. He's growing all the time. Near Beaton has been moved backwards into a centre half this season. And of course, Simunovic and Bayata, who for long spells of the season have been first choice. So that's going to be 6 players potentially ahead of Sviatchenko. He will go back to Denmark, I would think. He will have ambitions to be going to the World Cup with the Danish national team in the summer, I would think. Started off well under Ronnie Dyla, and he just sort of petered out, didn't it? So no surprises he's going. I don't think it's the most topical, Gordon. I think the most topical will be what happens with Moussa Dembélé.
Yeah, a lot of rumours going about, money getting bandied about with Brighton as well. I didn't think he had his best game on Saturday. But it'll be interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers freshens it up. He's got such a big squad there, and they're good quality in the squad. But who he's going to bring in, I think he's got to be. I know that young Ralston's just signed a new deal at Celtic, but I think he's got to be looking the right back position. I think Lustig's getting to that stage now that, you know, I think he would freshen it up there, give him more options. He's got plenty of midfield players. He's got competition up front, and Roger touched on there. Will Moussa Dembélé still be a Celtic player by the time the window closes in January?
Would you sign Hudson Edouard on a permanent deal, Daz?
Not really seen enough of him, Roger. But the fact is, if Dembélé still stays, he's got him, he's got Griffiths, and he only plays one striker anyway. So I don't think that department's a big problem to him. But I think that, you know, looking at the right back, I would look to bring someone in and put Lustig under a little bit of pressure.
Interesting to see as well what Celtic do with Lewis Morgan. And my understanding is that they will complete a deal to sign Lewis Morgan. I think the sort of consensus had been he would head back to St Mirren for the second half of the season. You wonder, though, if the injury to Johnny Hayes changes anything. If Lewis Morgan comes in, does he then fill that Hayes role as sort of backup to Scott Sinclair, to James Forrest? Because remember, Patrick Roberts is still sidelined as well.
Or does that fall to Mikey Johnson?
Well,
he looked very good when he came on at Dundee. He looks very lively, he looks very direct. He might get an opportunity as well, Gordon. But I think it makes sense if Celtic are going to take Morgan to send him back out for the rest of the season, Roger, because the boy's got to be playing football. He's got to be playing first team football to keep improving. But I'll be interesting to see what Brendan Rodgers thinks, whether he's got to keep him there or he's got to let him go back to St Mirren.
You look at St Mirren on Friday night, beating Dundee United with those two goals by Morgan. You look at St Mirren this afternoon, a hard fought point against Morton at Capello. It's Lewis Morgan that scores the goal again. I think Lewis Morgan is critical to St Mirren's chances of coming up. And I know Dundee United have lost Fivey, I know Dundee United have lost Fraser, two of their most influential players to injury for the rest of the season. But United won again today. They've closed the gap back up. They've got a game in hand. And for St Mirren to come back into the Premiership, I think they need Lewis Morgan in that team to the end of the season.
So Gordon DL thinks one of Celtic's main priorities should be to sign a new right back. Celtic fans, do you agree or disagree? Do let us know. Lots of tweets coming in. Scotty G says he would rather have Eric than Yozo and Boyata. Something must have happened between Brendan Rodgers and Sviatchenko while he was out injured. This is a massive window for Celtic in terms of getting players in for the qualifiers due to the early start. Roger, is there anything? Do you think there's been a fallout, anything like that? Is it just a player that Brendan Rodgers doesn't fancy?
I just think he's a player that Brendan Rodgers doesn't fancy. I don't think he, you know, he's a solid enough defender. I just think his use of the ball, his distribution, the way he brings it out from the back, isn't good enough for the way Brendan Rodgers wants his teams to play. And he's just fallen out of favour. You know, Adjaer, I think, will be the future. Maybe not, you know, immediately. Long-term future, I think he will be in at centre-half. Tierney will be left back, as we know. Ralston, for me, long term, will be right back. I just can't see where Sviatchenko fits in at all, and I think it makes sense for everyone to move on.
Okay, let's speak to Stephen. Now, as you know, I always read out the name and where they're from. This one says Falkirk / Australia. So I don't really know which one it is at the moment. Stephen, are you near or far?
I'm actually near at the moment. I'm in Falkirk, but I'm over from Western Australia.
Got
it's
you.
The first time I've been here in 12 years, so at this time of
well,
year.
Welcome back. So,
thank you, yes.
Has it been good fun?
It's been great. It's been that good because I've managed to get to quite a few Celtic games, so I've really enjoyed seeing some football over here. It's been great.
So you've got to see them in the flesh then for the first time in a while. What's that been like? What sort of conclusions have you drawn from what you've seen in your time over here?
Well, I went to the Hamilton game, we went to the Aberdeen game, and I was quite fortunate enough to get to the Rangers game as well. And over the period of watching the team, for me, Boyata is one of the players that I think Celtic should release and look at how he's been playing, because from my point of view of watching the guy, he only ever passes the ball back to Craig Gordon or passes it over to Bruni, and that's about it. I don't see fantastic quality in that player for somebody that's playing in a top-flight Scottish football team.
Gordon, I'll take that one, give that one to you. You watch a lot of Celtic live, and we know this is... Stephen's not alone here. We get a lot of Celtic fans on the show not too happy with the form of Dedrick Boyata, but you know, Eric Sviatchenko, as we've just discussed, been allowed to leave and so on. He still seems to remain very much in the plans.
Boyata's one of these players, Gordon. You watch him and he's certainly got a mistake in him, but he's got everything to be a real good quality centre-half. You know, he's got decent pace about him. He's a big strong lad. He goes and wins his fair share of headers. Brendan Rodgers must see something in him, because he works with him every single day in training, to see that he's got a future for a club. But you're right, there's a lot of Celtic fans out there, and even on Saturday, just sitting listening to them, you know, the opinions split with him, because you never know if he's going to make a mistake. He's one of these guys that he's definitely got a mistake in him. But I think working with Brendan Rodgers, I think he'll improve. I think he's got everything in his locker to be a decent centre half.
Gordon mentions this mistake making though, Roger. On one hand, you could say, you know, well, as soon as he cuts out the mistakes, then he'll be a good player. But of course, that sometimes is easier said than done, and some players continue to make mistakes.
Yeah,
so
it was strange, Gordon, because when Marvin Compere was signed, we had a debate on the show whether Compere would play with Boyata or whether Compere would play with Simunovic. It's beginning to look as if Compere will play with Christopher Adjaer, because Adjaer has been the outstanding Celtic centre-back in the last month. And people questioned why Brendan Rodgers was bringing in a 32-year-old, a sort of wily old veteran of a dozen years in the Bundesliga. What was he going to bring to Celtic? But if Celtic go on with a young Kieran Tierney at one side, a young Anthony Ralston at the other side, and a young Christopher Adjei in the middle, maybe that's why Compere's come in, just to add a bit of experience and help the kids through.
You want to come back in, Stephen?
Yeah, well, I do agree with what you guys have been saying, and I do agree that a football team as a whole should be there as a team. As you've just listened to Brendan Rodgers' commentary about it's about the team and not the individuals. But for me, a football team should actually be, how do you put it, it's got to be a complete unit, and you shouldn't actually be using that team as a breeding ground to try and make players better. They should come in and be part of the team and actually take that full team forward. And it would appear to me that there is a couple of aspects of people are learning their trade as they're playing. And for me, that's not a way to run a football team.
What do you make of Brendan Rodgers using the phrase revolving door, Roger? Because, and I know every manager's different, it just seems to me that most keep their cards quite close to their chest. They usually say, you know, we'll see what happens, we'll see if something can be done, we're only going to make the right moves and so on. But Brendan Rodgers has been very clear, and by the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, I think it's not always what you hear.
I thought it was an un-Rodgers-like phrase, if you know what I mean, Gordon. He also spoke prior to the game about Dembele's future and wasn't as convincing as he's been in the past that Dembele would stay. So perhaps you look at Celtic getting £6 or £7 million from the Virgil van Dijk deal. You look at potentially, say, for argument's sake, £18-20 million for Dembele. It gives Brendan Rodgers and the Celtic board a lot of cash to look at, you know, look at in this window. Do they sign Odson Edouard? They've already signed Marvin Compere. They look as if they're going to sign Lewis Morgan. There are various other ones. Charlie Musonda, Chelsea, albeit he's injured just now, has been another long-term target of Brendan Rodgers. So, you know, he's put it out there, and I think Celtic supporters now have every right to expect 2, 3, possibly even more players coming in this month.
Where do you sit on the Moussa Dembele one, Stephen? Is it a player that you would be desperate to keep under any circumstances, or have you got a price in your mind that you think, well, you know, if that's met, would be as well letting him go? How do you view that situation?
To be quite honest, after having watched Moussa Dembele over the past couple of weeks, I think his capital worth is depreciating with each game, to be quite honest. And having looked on Twitter and looking at what all the Celtic fans are saying, it's no different to what I'm saying. And I might get some people disagreeing with what I'm saying, but I think Celtic should let him go and try and get what they can get for the guy, and put that money into other players, because they have got some good players in the junior ranks that they could even bring through. But certainly, I think Moose has not played as well in the past few months as he has done in the past. So that's where I stand on that.
Time to cash in, says Stephen Gordon. How do you view this? Because I know he's been getting a bit of criticism for his form. I don't think anyone would argue against the opinion that he didn't play particularly well at the weekend. If you look over the whole season, though, he's not really played too many games, so it's perhaps difficult to get a real sense of the performance levels. What do you think about the timing of this?
I think the lad would probably prefer to go to England, Gordon, and try and play down there, because it is a far better league, and I'm not being disrespectful to the Scottish League, but you go down there, you're up against top quality teams week in, week out. His form,
yeah, but I suppose in the case of Brighton, you might be looking at a relegation.
Yeah, but I don't think they will. I think they're well organised. I've watched Brighton this season. I just think that as a player, you want to play against the best. But Celtic will not let him go unless it's a right deal for them. Yes, he hasn't had his best run of form, but the one thing is, he is a terrific striker. He's a very, very good player. And as I say, Celtic will be looking to cash in if they can get the money that they really want for him. But they won't let him go cheap.
You sometimes find there's just a natural parting. You know, it happened with Virgil van Dijk. He felt his time was up at Celtic and moved down south. Victor Wanyama, Gary Hooper, you can go right down the list, Gordon. I just sense, I didn't sense it in previous transfer windows, I sense it in this transfer window, that all parties, Celtic, Moussa Dembele himself, that they're all willing to consider a move, and all it will take is a Brighton or a Stoke City or someone else to come in, meet Celtic's asking price, and Moussa Dembele will be away.
Okay, thanks to Stephen, who's currently in Falkirk. Safe travels to you, Stephen, when you head back down under. We're going to take more of your calls after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Loads of you getting in touch on Twitter regarding the transfer window. A couple coming in about Celtic recently. Joseph Duffy says, I like Lustig, but I think he's better at centre half. He doesn't have the legs for right back. Any pace against him, he struggles. We need a number 10 with flair. McGregor's a good passer, but not got enough flair. I would try Paddy there when he gets back. I assume that means Patrick Robertson. Willie Maley as well on Twitter says, well, in fact, he's got quite a lot that he wants to see happen. He says he wants to see Celtic get rid of Lustig, Simunovic, Sviatchenko and Benyu. That's quite a list. Cashin and Dembele and John McGinn should be the priority. Whew, so lots of you getting your wish lists in tonight. But I did ask 0141 951 1025 if you would like to do it on the phone lines. Brian is a Celtic fan in Moss Park. Hi, Brian.
Hi, lads. Happy New Year, please.
Yes, indeed, Brian.
Hi. A few things as well, like Wally Hawley there as well, but I think goalkeeper, I say, I think Craig Gordon's a great goalkeeper, a great shortstopper, but very poor distribution, very poor cross balls, very poor sort of just a few areas, and even Lustig as well. I'd like to see Lustig, somebody sort of challenge Lustig, but certainly a new guy coming in at centre-half would be good, and Azure, I think Azure's earned his place. I mean, I think Simunovic is one of the guys, I mean, I take a primary school football team, and his position is shocking, even at that level, and it's unbelievable just the way he plays. But I think John McGinn would be an ideal midfielder, hopefully possible replacement for and Bruni. And just Dembele, I would sell him in a minute, because I think he's obviously went down, he's forced it downhill. I don't know if he's sort of seen the bigger picture, hopefully big transfers, obviously seen Van Dijk going in for a big fee. On the point of Van Dijk, I'd like to hope that we can all say that the money we're going to get for Van Dijk, we're going to actually use on the transfer market rather than just sort of put it in people's back pockets, dare I say. Just a few changes. I'd like to see a few changes. Somebody to part my Griffiths up front as well.
Okay, a few points made by Brian there, Gordon. Let's go through them sort of one by one. Start with Craig Gordon. I mean, I reckon this is a good time to discuss Craig Gordon, because you saw exactly what he brings on Saturday. I mean, a couple of the saves were unbelievable. But, and in fairness to Brian, everyone's got their opinion, there is still that lingering doubt amongst some, I may stress some, Celtic fans about the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think it's the bigger problem in the bigger picture with him is when he gets the ball at the back, and the way Brendan Rodgers wants to play from the back. He wants his goalkeeper to start the moves. He's got to be involved in it. And sometimes, you know, he puts the defence under a little bit of pressure with his bad use of the ball. I think he's got better at that, Gordon. I really do. I think he's got better at that. But I think Brendan Rodgers will be wanting a lot more out of him. But he certainly is a top quality goalkeeper. Does he really need someone in there to challenge him, put a bit of pressure on him? I know they've got De Vries, but is he the guy that's going to put that pressure on him? But I think Craig Gordon will be at Celtic for a few years anyway. I don't think they've got to replace him just now.
Listen, Craig Gordon is the best goalkeeper Scotland have produced in the last 20 years. He has been fantastic for Hearts, for Sunderland. Did he not win the best Premier League save ever? And listen, he might have eclipsed that with a save from Morelos in the game at the weekend. I thought he was looking a little bit off form pre-Christmas, but judging by his display against Rangers at the weekend, he's back to top form. I was just going to say, Brian, I agree with your points about his distribution, but I'm going to have to say, so what? I would just put up with all manner of distribution from Craig Gordon if he's going to produce the level of save that he did from Tavernier and from Morelos at the weekend.
I'd like to say on that point, what people remember is great saves like Gordon Banks and what have you, and saves like that. People don't remember the sort of guy coming out, a guy's going through and he tries to take him out of a karate kit and gives away sort of needless penalties and just misses cross balls. They just remember the good saves, the great saves.
Yeah, so I suppose that's maybe fair, Gordon. The other thing, though, it's not as if the something that, that struck in my mind the other day when I saw some old footage from earlier on in the season, it's not just the Rangers ones this weekend. Do you remember the save from Stephen Whittaker against Hibs this season? Was I feel as if there's been a couple this season. But as Brian says, there's maybe been some on the other side as well. So it just depends really which side of it you give more emphasis to.
There's games, Gordon, he has come out and made mistakes. He's you know, even the one at Easter Road, when it could have cost Celtic right now the dying minutes, he comes out and doesn't get there. And I think only for a fact he loosed it, clearing the ball off the line. Then Hibs would have went on and won that game. He certainly has his moments. But I think Roger touched on it. Who's better than him? He's probably the best goalkeeper in Scotland. And, you know, he's going to make mistakes, of course. He's been put under a lot of pressure to kick the ball from the back, find the full backs, try and, you know, link the play. That's not his greatest strength, but I think he has improved in that department.
Roger, Brian's other point about Virgil van Dijk, I'm going to make a guess here. I certainly can't speak on behalf of any fans, but I'm pretty sure a lot of Celtic fans will be thinking the van Dijk money is money that should be reinvested, just because of the way it comes about. You know, it's, I'm not saying it's free money, it's a good, it's a well structured deal, but it arrives, you know, without having to sell a player. And I think a lot of Celtic fans are going to be looking to see how that money's used.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think Brendan Rodgers has ever, you know, come out and said he needed more money. I think that the money has always been there for Brendan Rodgers. He's spent a fair bit. You know, if you look at Scott Sinclair, cost quite a lot of money. Olivier and Cham cost quite a lot of money. There's been transfer fees, you know, here and there for other players. He's never complained. I think if he goes to Peter Lawwell and the Celtic board and says he wants X million for a player, they will give him it. He's earned it. You know, the board will give him what he wants in this window and subsequent windows. The toughest part for Brendan Rodgers is persuading players of a superior quality to come and play in Scotland. That's always been the problem. You know, it's okay getting a Van Dijk and saying to him, you can use this as a springboard to the English Premier League. Go and get Dembele, tell him you can use this as a springboard to get to the English Premier League. That's all well and good. You can't pick up a Van Dijk or a Dembele in every window. So getting more experienced players to come and play in Scotland, that has always been the hard bit.
Anthony's on Twitter. He's a bit more hopeful. He says, I think we're all forgetting Dembele's got a clear and obvious bigger picture for his career. Can't see him ditching that for a Brighton or a Stoke. England won't happen unless it's top six. What about Alec, who's a Celtic fan on the line? Hi, Alec.
Hi, panel. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Alec.
I obviously listened to the show. Get back to the boy in Australia, talking about players learning in the job. One player, Kieran Tierney. Let's end that discussion. Secondly, the other boy talking about Craig Gordon, totally disagree. When you watch Celtic, a lot of their passes are like more or less right in 18-yard box, and you're maybe talking about a half a dozen passes at any one time, and Craig Gordon is in the centre of that. So obviously, you're going to have the odd mistake. So, like you say, I can't see Celtic changing Gordon anytime soon. Best goalkeeper since there, obviously, is Arthur Boric, so I'm happy with that. Obviously, I think the boy Ayer, you know, watching him, obviously at Celtic Park, everything about him, his position play, the whole lot, you know, you wouldn't think he was a 19-year-old. So hopefully between himself and Compere coming in. I think regards to Lustig's obviously, you know, he looks a bit off the pace. The boy Anthony Ralston was doing really well. Now, whether Brendan feels that he can take care fully for Lustig, you know, only Brendan will be able to tell for that. What you were saying about, you know, Brendan having the money, it's to try to get the players to come here. So in that regards, I would like to see is buying the best of what we've got in Scotland, i.e. the boy Lewis Morgan, the boy Hendry for Dundee, John McGinn, that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're keeping the money within the Scottish game. You know who exactly what you're getting. You know, and regards to Scotland, we could dominate the Premier League. We want to get into Europe. It would be good to get and sign players at £5, 6, and £7 million. But and where we are, you know, it's not really possible. So I think that, you know, Brendan obviously, he knows the players that he wants to go for. We did a hell of a well with the squad that inherited for Ronnie Dyla. I think that was almost a miracle of what the lads done last season. And whatever you think of Simonovic, Bayata, these guys will be done in history. You know what I mean? So that can never be took away.
Well, I think that he's certainly looking to freshen things up. You mentioned three young talents here. Lewis Morgan, Henry up at Dundee, and John McGinn. I'm a big fan of the three of them. I think they all bring something. Whether Brendan Rodgers looks at that and says, right, they're the kind of players that I really want. I think since Brendan Rodgers has come in with the big squad that he's got and the way he's improved his players, the question mark's still over this number 10. They've always been looking for this number 10. But it doesn't matter. It costs a lot of money for talent like that. And McGregor's been in there. Rogic has been in there. You know, Armstrong's played in that position. Cham come on at, on Saturday. I thought he was excellent. He's got a lot of players, a lot of options. But it's just trying to find that number 10 that he wants. And that'll be the big one for him.
Morton fans, St Mirren fans, this might be the chance for you to get in touch. We're going to take a closer look at the Renfrewshire Derby after we do this.
Beat the pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now what a chance for someone out there to be the first winner of Beat the Pundit 2018. 0141 951 1025. That is a number you must dial right now if you want to take on Roger Hannah or Gordon DL. Beat the Pundit coming up after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
DL and Roger Hannah are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been asking you for your January sales wish list. This goes out to fans of all teams. Who would you like to see come and go at your club during the January window? It might be time for St Mirren and Morton fans to get involved. A 1-1 draw in the Renfrewshire Derby earlier. Why not get in touch and let us know what you thought of it? 01419511025. And we'll get to that after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now the man charged with the responsibility of trying to get a first win on the board of the year for the punters is David Hendry from Coatbridge. Hi David.
Hi, how are you doing?
Not bad, you?
I'm good, mate, I'm good.
Yeah, good stuff. Gordon DL and Roger Hannah are standing by. I'm delighted to say no one has pinched my Beat the Pundit coin out of the studio over the winter break, so I will...
It's because it's not legal tender anymore.
I wanted to tell anyone that is true. It's an old pound coin I use, Gordon, because I know that no one will steal it. But,
no doubt.
But listen, sometimes around these parts, you can never be too sure. Anyway, heads, it's Roger Hannah. Tails, it is Gordon DL. So let's see what the coin says. Own it as a heads up against Roger Hannah to kick off the new year. So let's give him some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure that he cannot steal your answers, David. And we'll get this clock set up. So it's 30 seconds, head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Yep, on you go.
Who do Man City face tonight? Who won the PDC World Darts Championships last night?
Rob Cross.
Who scored for St Mirren today against Morton?
Morgan.
Celtic youngster Regan Hendry has joined who on loan until the end of the season?
Pass.
Claude Puel is the manager of which English Premier League side?
Leicester.
In which league do Queen's Park play?
Queen's Park are in League 2.
And which country hosted the World Cup in 1990?
1990 for Italy.
Okay, bad effort at all. Let's bring Roger Hannah back. Are you with us?
Yes.
You are. Okay, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Go for it.
You are indeed. Let's get the clock and go. Who do Man City face tonight?
Watford.
Who won the PDC World Darts Championships last night? Who scored for St Mirren today against
Lewis
Morton?
Morgan.
Celtic youngster Regan Hendry's joined which team on loan until the end of the season? Claude Puel is the manager of which English
Leicester.
Premier League side? In which league do Queen's Park play?
League One.
Which country hosted the World Cup in 1990?
Italy.
And who is the current top goal scorer in the English Premier League?
Mo Salah.
Okay. Oh, in which European city would you find the Luzhniki Stadium? Didn't think you'd have time for that one. Okay. How are you feeling about that, David?
I was confident, but not anymore.
I feel for David here, Gordon.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Well, that's the thing, David. You did do well, but Roger's just like a steam train. He's quick. He gets flying through the questions. Let's go through them anyway. Who do Man City face tonight? It is Watford. So you both got off to a winning start on that one. Who won the PDC World Darts Championships last night? It was Rob Cross. So it's 2-2 at this moment in time. Who scored for St Mirren against Morton? It was Lewis Morgan. So it's 3-3.
Good game.
David, this one could be significant though. Celtic youngster Regan Hendry has signed for which team on loan until the end of the season? It is Raith Rovers. So Roger,
you're asking a Rangers fan.
My apologies. Roger moves into a one shot lead at that point. Claude Puel is the manager of Leicester. You both got that correct, so Roger's still one up. He then got Queen's Park play in League 1 though, which you became a bit unstuck with that one, David. I think you said League 2. So Roger moves 2 up. You both got the World Cup in Italy held in 1990. And Roger then just got through so many questions that he got on to the last two. Who is the current top goal scorer in the English Premier League, Roger? It is Harry Kane. He's one ahead.
And he's left out the Tottenham team tonight.
He is indeed. He's one ahead of Mo Salah. And in which European city would you find the Luzhniki Stadium? It is Moscow. So that was an 8-5 win for Roger Hanna. David, listen, a 5 is decent, but you just ran in.
I'm quite proud of myself.
You should be.
Well done, David.
You should be. But Roger Hanna knew his stuff tonight. Thanks for taking part, David.
Thank you.
Good man. That was David Hendry in Cope Bridge. I wonder how long we're going to go in 2018 with the pundits on a winning streak. It seems now that we're in the fashionable era of counting football and calendar years, Roger, have you noticed that there seemed to be a sort of recent thing started, I think, by Harry Kane's goal scoring record the other day? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to measure beat the pundit record in the calendar year. So it's 1-0 to the pundits.
We'll also
so far
have to measure how long you can keep that old pound coin before somebody snaffles it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it. I'm confident I can certainly see out the season with it, that's for sure. I put a bit of a shout out, not in a GBX style, but I put a shout out for St Mirren and Morton fans. You're being a bit shy this time in the new year. Maybe you're still out enjoying yourself after the game, but if anyone is listening, why not give us a call? 01419511025. That was a big fixture, certainly on our patch today, Roger. It finished 1-1. Lewis Morgan with the opener for St Mirren, and then Thomas O'Ware scoring late on for Morton. So it is of some significance at the top of the table, because St Mirren's lead at the top is cut to 3 points, having played a game more than Dundee United, who beat Brechin 4-1 earlier today.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fascinating run into the end of the season between the two of them. United have a game in hand. It was that game that was abandoned at half time at Dumfries against Queen of the South. If they win, they're back level on points, albeit I think St Mirren have a superior goal difference. United have been hit by dreadful injuries. I think Fraser Fivey out for the season with cruciate ligament injury. Scott Fraser out for the season with a broken foot that will require surgery. The bench for Dundee United today, when they beat Brechin, it was just populated with kids. So Shaba Laszlo will need to get experienced reinforcements in for the second half of the season. St Mirren, as we said earlier on the show, must somehow keep hold of Lewis Morgan, even if he's a Celtic player, back on loan to St Mirren, because he holds the key for them. I think it'll be a terrific run in. And with St Mirren having beaten United in Paisley on Friday night, you know, the next games between them in the second half of the season could be critical.
It's been a fascinating period, this, for Lewis Morgan, Gordon, because sometimes, especially, you know, at this time of the season, when there's a lot of spotlight on the players, and then all of a sudden you get two games on the television. You've got fans who wouldn't usually watch St Mirren games tuning in, maybe just to see what Lewis Morgan's like, or particularly that the whole championship's going to be under the spotlight in the next couple of weeks because the top flight is off. And in the last two games, he's risen to the occasion, you know, 3 goals in the two games, and you can see what the fuss is about.
Yeah, I was one of those guys that tuned in today just to see what light the boy was. I've not seen a lot of him, and you can realise why a team like Celtic are going to go and try and get the boy. He's got terrific talent, he scores goals, he looks a real player, but I think, you know, for St Mirren, if they're going to try and get up this season, it's so important that if they do lose him, that they try and get him back, because he is a big player for them, and obviously chipping in with the goals as well. And it'll be interesting to see where his future's going to lie, but I'm sure every St Mirren fan, you know, watching the game today and listening to the radio, are desperate to, if he goes to Celtic, to get him back in the loan, Gordon.
Yes, St Mirren fans, Morton fans, why not get in touch? I'm pleased to say we're joined live on the line by Morton manager Jim Duffy. Jim, how are you? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, and happy New Year to you. All your listeners and all the guys
Great stuff, thanks Jim. We won't keep you long, I'm sure you've had a busy day. Just give us your overall thoughts on today's game first and foremost, Jim.
Yeah, it was a cliched game of two halves, mate. St Mirren were better first half, no doubt about it. I think they were buoyant after their performance result against the United, and they came out and took a grip of the game quite early on, and we just had to stay organised and work hard and try and deny them too many opportunities. But they certainly controlled the game second half. We managed to get higher up the pitch, tried to press the game a little bit more. There's a little bit more energy, and eventually we got a grip of the game, and you know, at the end of the 90 minutes we certainly deserved the draw, and our perhaps maybe unfortunately not to nick it near the end.
Thomas Aware, the man obviously getting the goal for you, Jim. Roger and I were actually talking off air before we came on, just about the number of goals he scored for you for a centre back. I'm sure he's in there to keep them out first and foremost, but yeah, it's certainly been a great return over the last couple of seasons, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's a terrific young player. He can play centre back. He's played at midfield a couple of times, the midfielder, but I mean, Ricky Lamb in particular, I think, were outstanding against him. And they're touching on young Lewis Morgan, who's an outstanding talent. There's no doubt about that. But we dealt with the front four very well today. And although, as I mentioned, St Mirren were, you know, certainly the better of the first half, we restricted them to very few opportunities. And that gave us a chance to get something from the game. There's no question about that.
Jim, I think I'm right in saying that's the halfway point of the championship season over. So played 18 at the moment, you find yourself bang smack in the middle, fifth in the table, you know, Dunfermline above you within touching distance, and then teams close by you below as well. How would you assess the first half of the season for you?
I think when you reflect upon it, you know, you think that we're certainly capable, you know, of matching anyone in the division as a result. We've played St Mirren three times, we're top of the league with a 1-2 draws. And, you know, so I think on our day, we're capable, but we have to try and find this consistency. And if we can have a strong second half of the season, obviously that gives us a chance. But we also know that every other club in that division is of a similar frame of mind. You know, the reason why St Mirren are top of the league is because they've been more consistent. And, you know, that's the element that everyone's searching for. So I think we've done okay, but if we can improve, then we can challenge for the playoff places in the second half of the season.
Jim, it's Roger. Happy New Year to you.
Hi, Roger. Cheers, mate. Happy New Year to you.
The fans have been asking, is there scope to add one or two in the January window for Morton?
Not much, mate. Not much. That's just the nature of it. And I think that our crowds are probably down 200 or 300 in average. And that's a huge amount for us. You know, we don't understand why. But as I said, you can't legislate for some of that. You know, I think the team performed pretty well over the last few years, but unfortunately just circumstances have made that the crowds have been down, and obviously a club at our level, we need every fan come through the gate we can possibly get to try and compete. I mean, there's four or five clubs who are much more than double our Abbey support at times, so that's not to criticise fans. I'm always very appreciative of anyone that does turn up, but as a fact that we can't compete financially with some of the clubs. So we have to try and do our business carefully, but there is scope to bring in a player, possibly in loan. But, you know, there's not much, Roger, and that's just the simple fact of it. We will try, and we'll always try and strengthen the team, but it has to be within the parameters that we have at the club.
Jim, obviously the top flight's away on its holidays. I'm sure there's some warm weather training camps and all the rest of it going on. The lower leagues don't get afforded that luxury up to Brechin for you at the weekend. I take it that's just something you're used to, just happy to plod along, or is it particularly challenging?
Yeah, I mean, it's part parcel. We play football through the winter in Scotland. I mean, last week, for instance, the 3 days we had in a row, one day was absolutely frozen, the ground was frozen, the next day was covered in snow, the next day was howling wind and rain. So that's just the nature of it. Gordon will tell you that. You know, you just have to get on with it. You know, there's no point griping about it. That's where we are. But it's not pleasurable for the player to turn up and train it, and it's not great to try and work on technique and these things as well. But nevertheless, as I said before, it's something we do get used to. And as I said, if you get a game like today when the pitch is good and the weather's not too bad, then fine. But we've already had two games called off. I'm sure there's probably another one or two to come. So you just have to try and just knuckle down and go on with it.
Great stuff. Thanks to Jim Duffy, the Morton manager, for joining us. Jim, we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, Thanks, Gordon. Cheers, mate.
Good man. That was Jim Duffy there, Morton manager. So we are still here, Morton fans, St Mirren fans. If you'd like to get in touch, you know the number, 0141 951 1025. Shaney Punk is on. I think Shaney may well be a Morton fan, saying that St Mirren were lucky to get a draw. He says Morton had two good penalty shouts. Thompson got booked for diving in one of them, but no booking for Morgan. So there we are. In fact, I'm just looking at the picture to try and see. Maybe not a St Mirren fan or a Morton fan, just someone who watched the game. We don't mind that. Brian's in Lark Hall. Hi, Brian.
Hi, can I wish you all a happy new year?
Hey, yeah, Brian,
give me a minute to put this radio down and put it off. Yeah.
Oh, I heard myself in the past there. That was a bit weird. Anyway, on you go, Brian.
Right, can I just say one thing? It's out to Alec, the Celtic supporter for Parkhead. Now, I never heard the phone in on Saturday. Uh-huh. Friday. I didn't hear it on Friday. And he said he's normal babbling. Celtic will win by
whatever score
whatever
they want
Celtic
it to be. Yep.
To win. I think really what he has to, you know, look at is
keep the response clean. That's all. I don't mind telling.
No.
I'm only kidding, Brian.
Don't worry about that. That Celtic are definitely worse than they were at this point last season, and other clubs are better. So, you know, there is a closer. Celtic look as if they could drop points, which they have. So he has to be a wee bit more humble and get a wee bit humiliated in his heart. I'm not saying don't support your team, but coming out with nonsense like that, you know, it just doesn't go.
Yeah, listen, that's all part and parcel of it, Roger. That's why football rivalry in this city exists. I knew as soon as the full-time whistle went on Saturday, I knew Alec from Parkhead was going to take some stick because he was very confident.
I was in the car, I heard him making the remarks, and you always know that things like that can come back and bite you on the backside, Gordon. But it's what the game is all about. It's all about opinions, it's all about a bit of banter on the show. Alec was confident in his team. His team didn't win the game, and I think Brian's got a point. I don't think Celtic today, January 2nd, 2018, look as strong as he did a year ago, January 2nd, 2017. But the manager recognises that. He's spoken about the revolving door, and I think he will try and re-energise Celtic for the second half of the season, just in a very similar way to Graham Murty will try and re-energise Brian's team with the addition of some players. Jamie Murphy linked with Rangers strongly. My understanding is the lad's keen to get a deal done. He's fallen out the picture at Brighton. I have a feeling a deal will be done sometime in the month of January. So a stronger Celtic, a stronger Rangers. Aberdeen look good. They've already brought in Niall McGinn. Hibs look good. They brought in Scott Bain. Hearts are going in. It looks as if Hearts might never lose another goal again, the way they're playing just now, this record-breaking run of clean sheets. So Brian's quite right. A few strong teams out there, and winter break's only just started, but Louis, they were looking forward to getting the top flight action back again.
Yeah, Brian, the theme we've had running tonight is asking the callers, you know, if you were in charge of the comings and goings at your team this January, what would you do? What would your opinion be on that one?
I wanted to make there's two particular players, and Rangers have been linked to these players, you know, over the last year or so. In fact, they tried to bring one of the players in the summer. That's Jamie Walker. And the other one's Kenny McLean. Now, both of these players are in the last few months of their contracts. I'm not saying that Hearts and Aberdeen would want to lose them at this point, but we should be, you know, looking to bring these players in, not in the summer, but now, so that we can try and kick on. The other thing I was saying to the guy that answered the phone was where I believe Rangers are at the moment. I think we're getting better because we're playing a system that's a lot tighter. I think Roger mentioned, we were talking about Danny Wilson earlier on the show, where Danny was a bit exposed early on when Rangers come up to the top league under Warburton, when the fullbacks are bombing forward. If you looked at the game on Saturday, our fullbacks were still trying to get forward, but they were doing it in tandem. And having McCrory, and I cannot believe the steps that guy, because when he first came into the team, being a Rangers fan, I'd heard of him, but I'd never seen him. And he looked really good at centre-back, and the stature he's got. When the Rangers put him into midfield and put him in that kind of anchor role, I was really... I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but to me, he's got something about him. There's a discipline, you know, in there. So we're a lot tighter.
Yeah, you can't
I don't go overboard about Saturday.
Yeah, you can't argue
small
with that.
Small steps.
Yeah, I think you make good points there. McCrory, I watched him coming into the team, young lad, centre-back, and you're thinking, always get potential to go all the way, this lad. But I think the right move is the way that Murty's put him into the middle of the park. He gives a bit of protection there, and I think it's the fact that, you know, it helps Wilson. Alves obviously had played on Saturday, come off injured. Bates went on, was terrific. You're right about the two full-backs. If the right back goes, the left back tucks in, gives a bit of protection as well. It's just the style of football that Murty's brought. But there's I think you're right in what you're saying. There's a long way still to go. Because as I touched on earlier, as much as there was a lot of pats in the back for the performance second half at Celtic Park, you know, they've come off of 12 points and only picked up 4. So there's still a lot of work to be done if they're going to try and really challenge for second place. You mentioned guys like Jamie Walker. I think Kenny McLean's already told Aberdeen he's leaving anyway. I think he'd be a terrific signing for Rangers, I really do. But it'll be interesting to see who they bring in.
And it doesn't really matter to an extent what you and I think.
Oh, we know that.
I think Kenny McLean would be an asset to Rangers. I think Jamie Walker would be an asset to Rangers. But you wonder whether Mark Allen and Graham Murty think they're an asset to Rangers, because if they do, they should be nailing them now in pre-contract.
Okay, we've got a nice difficult full-time teaser for these two. I know lots of you like to play along at home as well, so the full-time teaser is coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And I promised you that we had a very difficult full-time teaser, and I'm a man of my word, sent in by John Smith.
Oh,
Happy New Year, John.
Happy New Year to John. Thanks for sending in. And remember, folks, it is the first show of the new year. This seems like a good time to restock on the full-time teaser. So if you've got any, maybe you've been collecting them over the festive period, do send them in to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. And hopefully we can catch the guys out in 2018. So this one is as follows. It says, from the SPL era onwards, so 98-99 onwards, mm-hmm, 8 countries have been represented by a single manager of that nationality. Name the countries and the managers. Do you want me to repeat that?
Yes, please.
So from the SPL era onwards, 8 countries have been represented by a single manager of that nationality. Okay. Name the countries. For instance, Scotland obviously isn't there because there have been loads of Scottish managers. England isn't there because there have been loads of English managers. But which countries have given our game only one manager since the start of the SPL era? And just for the avoidance of doubt, we're going by country of birth here. Just one or two that, you know.
Have you got any here?
Brazil.
Who?
Marcio Maximo.
Yes. Livingston manager in 2003. Marcio Maximo, the only Brazilian to manage in Scotland since the start of the SPL era.
How many did you say?
8. Any more at the moment?
That's a good question, actually. I quite like that.
Well done to John Smith for sending it in. Okay, we can get back to it. This is one of these ones. Do you know, folks, this is what happens tomorrow. Roger Hanna's going to phone me in the afternoon because he's repeating the question to someone else because he likes it so much and he's forgotten some of the answers. That's what's going to happen.
I forget all the answers.
This is true. Bit of news coming out of the Championship today, gentlemen. We spoke about the game earlier between Morton and St Mirren. Roger, this is a pretty disappointing story to read, in that Dean Shields has been again the target of abuse in a fixture against Falkirk, although this time the accusation is against the Falkirk fans who allegedly threw fake eyes onto the pitch or towards the pitch in relation to the disability which Dean Shields has, which we know all about because we had the situation earlier in the season where Falkirk pair Joe McKee and Kevin O'Hara were charged by the Scottish FA for mocking Dean Shields for the very same thing. So you would like to think that that issue had been dealt with and we could all move on like responsible adults, but it doesn't appear to be the case this afternoon.
Disgusting. I've seen photographic evidence of the false eyes that were thrown by Falkirk fans onto the pitch at East End Park. I have seen social media posts today allegedly from the Falkirk fans aimed at Dean Shields. Falkirk need to crack down on this. This cannot be allowed to happen again. My understanding is Falkirk have already issued an apology to Dean Shields over the conduct of a small minority of the supporters. It'll be interesting to see what the authorities do, both the criminal authorities and the football authorities, because for me, in terms of abuse of a player, this is a new low.
Yeah, the statement from Falkirk is a spokesman saying Falkirk FC disappointed by the actions of a small minority of its support. This does not in any way reflect the values of the club. It's something we will not condone, and apologies for any offence caused. And that's it, Roger. We don't want to miss that point, because I think it's fairly obvious it's a minority. These things are always a minority. It doesn't make it any easier to understand or deal with, and particularly from Dean Shields.
Gordon, don't even try to understand it, because your head would explode. It's a disgusting act by brainless morons. Quite why you would think it's acceptable to go to anywhere, a football match, a shopping centre, down the street, and do things like that. You know, if you did it in a place of work, you'd be arrested. It is a dreadful act, and, you know, these people owe a deep, deep apology to Dean Shields and Dunfermline Athletic for their conduct.
I mean, Gordon, you've been a player. I'm sure you've took a bit of abuse from the sidelines. You take a bit of abuse on this show.
Yeah.
But on a serious note, I mean, when it crosses a line like that, and Dean Shields is a player who's just there doing his job and has to be reminded and abused for the disability in that way, that must be incredibly hard to deal with as a professional footballer.
Yeah, as a player, Gordon, you don't mind when you're taking a bit of stick. You don't mind that, because sometimes it's a compliment for other supporters to think you're a decent enough player that you can cause their team a bit of damage, a bit of problems. But to go to the lengths of these Falkirk supporters, and Roger's right there, he summed it up brilliantly, they're absolute morons. You know, part and parcel of the game is, yeah, people can, you know, I had it for years. I don't know why people always thought I had a big nose, but I don't know where that one came from, Roger. I can't see that myself. But you could take that in good fun, but that is way crossing the line, and it's an absolute disgrace. They've not just let themselves down, they've let their club down, and, you know, we need to get that stamped out. Disgraceful behaviour.
Okay, just to clear up on the teaser, caretaker managers don't count as well. Just wanted to throw that out there. Let's get back to the phone lines. John Paul is a Celtic fan. He's been hanging on for quite some time. Accept my apologies.
No problem at all. How's it going, guys? Happy New Year.
Yeah, same
to
you,
John Paul.
I just want to know what my point is, right? Brendan Rodgers, since he came into Celtic, has like exceeded all expectations, been brilliant, right? And it's a massive turnaround. But albeit Rangers were, I would just like to say, first of all, Rangers were well worth it, the draw on Saturday. They've done their homework, the way they set up, and second half they could have ended up knitting it. But Rodgers, the blame's got to fall with Rodgers. I mean, the last three games before we played Rangers, albeit by the goal the week before by Griffiths, it was all midfielders and defenders that had scored their goals. Now he's that's by him changing his strikers, not playing two weeks in a row, or no game one, or running the game, depending on his midfielders making the runs and scoring goals. Now, Rangers were happy for Moussa Dembele to sit with back to goal, and then if a midfielder and try and let Celtic's midfield come up and play, they were happy. Ross McCrory was picking up runners, picking up here and there, because it was just bouncing off Dembele. The week before, Griffiths has scored, and by his celebration, he's basically said, "I'm the man. Like, basically, start me next week, I'm ready and ready to go." And then it would have been a bit kicking the teeth to him. I mean, it all became a bit predictable. When Rangers fullback were getting joy, what they realised, down the left-hand side, they were doubling up Candace and Tavernier. Why not just change it and leave them there alone, but put Griffiths on as well? Change it up and give Rangers something to think about. It's getting a bit predictable.
Yeah, do you know, so I was actually thinking that at the game on Saturday. I thought, right, he's going to make a substitution. The game was crying out for somebody like Griffiths to come on and cause problems. I thought he'd have left the two on, maybe changed it, but Brendan Rodgers doesn't like to do that. He plays with the one striker. He doesn't prefer the two up top. I thought it could have gave Rangers a bit more problems, but I thought Rangers' second half played very well organised. Got a little bit of joy, as you touched on, down the right-hand side with Tavernier and Candias doubling up and Kieran Tierney. Some terrific balls getting whipped in there. But It's not often you hear that Brendan Rodgers takes a bit of stick, you know, from the Celtic fans. But I just think it was flat. It wasn't the greatest game. I said that in commentary. I didn't think it was the greatest game. It certainly needed a goal. I feel sorry for Griffiths. He's been playing second fiddle to Dembele since obviously come up from Fulham. Because the minute a big game, and it is a big game, where it's a cup final, where it's a Rangers game, where it's Aberdeen away from home, the number one striker is Dembele, and he always goes with him.
I totally get that, and I didn't know if it's true or not. I heard that someday that Griffiths is, like, all the other things, that he's still been turning up late to team meetings and that. See, you're just going to hear, say, I don't know if that's true or not, but surely by his performances, when he's came in, it's been asked today, so he's in and scored, or he's contributed well, and it just feels like... I understand Rodgers wants to play the way he plays, but even in Europe, sometimes you can't play that. You need to change up. The best manager in the world did.
Roger, I think it's only fair we point out that Brendan Rodgers, certainly on record, and Lee Griffiths on record, both more than willing to say that there's no problem whatsoever.
No.
So what John Paul says may well be true, but it is, at that point we just have to kind of acknowledge that it is a rumour, nothing that we are aware of.
Yeah. Listen, as far as we know, there is no problem between the two of them. Lee Griffiths has done very well for Celtic, but Moussa Dembele remains Brendan Rodgers' first pick centre forward. If Moussa Dembele leaves the club, it will be fascinating to see what Brendan Rodgers does. Whether that means a run in the team for Griffiths, whether Celtic meet the buyout clause on Hudson Edwards' contract and sign him permanently from PSG, or whether the money's reinvested and a new centre forward who would be deemed first choice by Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, but the thing is, Roger, if that is the case, you've got to really feel for Griffiths, because he can't do any more than the lads do. And he was right
when
he scored his goal. He was saying, "I'm the man."
I agree, but look at all the clubs. You know, the fashion does is one striker. Look at all the top teams in England. You know, if Arsenal play Lacazette, then Giroud's left on the bench tonight. Tottenham are playing Llorente, but for the majority of the time, Tottenham play Harry Kane and Llorente misses out. Chelsea play Morata, Batshuayi misses out. You know, Man United play Lukaku before his injury, so Martial misses out. You know, it's the same the world over, that because there's only one striker, the backup guy gets increasingly frustrated. And that, unfortunately for Lee Griffiths, is his role at the moment.
You want to come back in, John Paul?
No, that's fine. I just want to know their thoughts on that.
Great stuff. Thanks to John Paul, as a Celtic fan in Fauldhouse, giving us his thoughts on the game at the weekend.
Can I chip in with a manager?
Go for it.
Yes.
John Barnes.
Now, do you know, I was just going to say, John Smith hasn't got John Barnes on his list. I can't see any reason.
Why not?
Exactly. So I'm thinking we should just add.
He's an England international.
Born in Jamaica.
Born in Jamaica.
Yeah, but you had a question the other week, you know, about foreigners, and you counted Danny Lennon as being from Northern Ireland.
Because we said it was football nationalities, but on this one, I said it was the country of their birth.
Are you giving me John Barnes?
I'll give you.
But does that mean we need nine?
Yes.
Right.
Well, no, of course, problem.
I'm just giving you. I feel generous at this time of year. I'm just going to give you.
Miksu Pantalainen in Finland?
No.
Of course, Harry Campman was there, wasn't he? Was it Paul Le Guin in France?
Nope.
Mm.
Okay.
Shaba Laszlo.
Yes.
Romania, is that right?
He was born in Romania. Yep, that was the one I was sort of referring to. If you look him up, he's considered Hungarian in some quarters, but he was born.
Some of these Hearts managers confuse me, because I don't know. You know, there was two or three Lithuanians, but there were others who weren't Lithuanian. I think that the likes of Malofiev was from Belarus, and the likes of Korobotchka was from Ukraine.
Say that again. Second one.
Korobotchka, Ukraine.
Yes. I thought we could have been here till midnight, and you wouldn't have got that one. But Korobotchka, Hearts, 2007 to 2008. Was indeed Ukrainian. Well done. We'll get the answers to the full-time teaser and more of your calls after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah and Gordon Dalziel are going through this full-time teaser. It was sent in by John Smith. John Smith says, I hope he's got these right. John Smith says, from the SPL era onwards, 8 countries have been represented by a single manager of that nationality. Name the countries. We've just added John Barnes in because we're pretty sure he must be the only Jamaican. That's a fairly loose rules in these, you'll find. Roger, you've had a bit of time to think, and I think you've come up with a few, haven't you?
Well, there were two staring us in the face. Dick Advocaat,
mm-hmm.
the Dutchman, Ronnie Dyler.
from Norway.
From Norway.
Well done.
We're going back now. I wondered about Italy because Dundee had Ivano Benetti and Dario Benetti there together. I thought, I was sure Livingston had an Italian boss at one stage as well, Roberto Landi, but maybe that was in, that might have been a championship days, you know, well, League 1 or League 2 days or something like that.
John Smith is the boss on this. Yeah. On John Smith's list, he's gone for Ivano Benetti, so well done.
The other one, and I can't believe I didn't get this first because I actually went to see him in Denmark, Ebbe Skovdal.
Ebbe Skovdal, the only Dane.
Who's the Aberdeen
manager? Absolutely flying. You've only got one to get. You've already got, you've only got one to get on the teaser. Well done so far. Let's see who can come up with the winner with about 10 minutes or so.
It's not the one that, as I said, Richard Goff.
No. The theme running throughout tonight's show has been, you know, January sales, transfer windows open, who would you see come in or out? Well, let's hear from Alan Archibald, shall we? Because he says that getting some of his players back from injury will just feel like new signings this month. We know that Captain Abdul Osman, Mustafa Dumbuya, Callum Booth are amongst those nearly ready to come back for Partick Thistle. And speaking after the win at the weekend, Archibald says that will be long overdue.
If we get our players back, Luke, we could potentially not have to sign anything and get four players back after the window. We've got young James Penrice coming back for Livingston loan. I've got Callum Booth hopefully back for the first game. Abdul Osman, Dumbuya to come back for. And that's not including Stuart Bannigan and Chris Daly. So that's six players we'll be missing. I mean, we're missing nine at Pataudry the other night and seven a day. So if we get four of them back, we're still looking. We're still actively looking in case they don't come back. But I think we'll be a lot stronger after the window just getting the three or four back. We'll give the boys a week off. We've had eight games, probably us and somebody else had eight games. So it's important to get a bit of rest and then we'll be away for a week in Spain and make sure we've got facilities to train. Because we never did anybody to train. Yesterday we were in a five-a-side hall. Had to do a bit of shape out in the pitch in 3 inches of snow. So we don't want to give the players a week off and come back to that. So it's important we've got somebody to train, and the board have been good that way. They put it in the budget at the start of the season. They've not took it out.
Roger, I suppose the encouraging thing for Alan Archibald a few weeks ago, you know, when they were bottom, they've managed to show a bit of an upturn in form. They've got some good home wins under their belts, and then, like Alan Archibald says, they're still very much there, and they've now got all these players that have been injured to look forward to welcoming them back.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Thistle in the last month or 6 weeks, and away from home, I saw them lose five at Kilmarnock. I saw them lose, three at Kilmarnock and five at Dundee, or vice versa. Yeah, five at Kilmarnock and three at Dundee, I think. And they look dreadful. But somehow, they've got it together for three consecutive home wins. Motherwell, the 3-2 game, the midweek game. Hamilton, probably they were the second best team against Hamilton, yet got the 3 points. And crucially, Ross County at the weekend, getting that win, getting 3 points off the bottom, getting into the winter break. Psychologically, that must be an enormous boost for Alan Archibald. And once the Premiership comes back, the 23rd or the 24th of the month, if he has got the likes of Abdul Osman and Callum Booth and some of those players back, maybe even a new face in on loan, then he will be looking up the way in the second half of the season.
Gordon, I think every manager in the world at any level of football bemoans the fact that, you know, you get injury lists that add up, and it can't always be seen as an excuse because it happens to everyone and so on. But in particular, look at some of those players. Alan Archibald has had serious hard luck with some of them. I mean, Mustafa Dumbuya has barely played at times since being up here. I think this couple of weeks is a real opportunity, not only for Thistle but for other teams. Like, you heard Alan Archibald there, go away, get a bit of sun in the backs, welcome some players back. Do you think it is the type of thing that can really kick you on in the second bit of the season?
Of course it is. It can freshen you up and obviously gives them competition for places, gives them more options, because Partick Thistle will be dealing with a small squad, and it's great now. Footballers, they get a week off and then they get taken away to Spain just to get a bit of sunshine. So no, I think every player will be looking forward to that, and they'll be looking forward to kick on in the second half of the season, Gordon, when they come back. So I think it's good news for Partick Thistle. I think it's good news for the manager as well, because he has come in for a little bit of criticism sitting down the bottom of the league. But you know, he gets his players back, gives them good options. I think Partick will be okay. I think they've got enough quality in their squad.
Steve, Colin is in Easter House. Hi, Colin.
All right, Gordon.
How are you?
I've been out here, everybody.
Yep, same
to
you, Colin.
I thought you forgot about me there, Gordon.
Oh, God, you've been hanging on quite some time. My apologies. I can see the clock next to your name. That does not look good. Sorry, Colin.
That's all right, Colin. Listen, I want to keep the banter years going with me and Alex at Parkhead. I want him to, it was a highlight of my day when he came on after the All-Firm game on Saturday, and he tried to and she was shot down in flames. And I just want to tell Alex, keep the predictions going. It just puts a smile on my face, you know, guys.
Well, in fairness, Alec, he was happy to come on Saturday. I was going to say and defend himself, but he didn't really. He just sort of repeated it. But anyway,
he puts himself up there, and that's a good thing. That's what the show is made of, Colin. These sort of outlandish, shall we say, predictions. And fair play to Alec for coming on and defending himself on Saturday. I'm sure he'll be back on very soon in the new year.
And Colin, the irony meter went into overdrive when Hugh Keevans was talking to someone about dodgy predictions anyway, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Listen, on my point, Gordon, and no Gordon, Roger.
Yes.
Ross McCrory.
Yeah.
I think we have found a gem in Ross McCrory. And I know you work for the Sun, so you do. I just don't feel as if the wee guy gets the publicity that other players stay in Scotland. I mean, does nobody else think that he is going to be as good as, say, Kieran Tierney?
Well, listen, I'll let you into a secret, and I wrote this in my column a few weeks ago. Ross McCrory and his twin brother, Robbie, grew up in the village of Daly, which is just a handful of miles along from where I grew up in Girvan. And we used to joke that the best thing that came out of Daly was a bus to Girvan, Colin. But these two have changed all that. I've got a soft spot for them just because they come from the same sort of area of the country as I do. I'm told Robbie McCrory is an exceptional young goalkeeper as well. He's done very well at Berwick in the first half of the season. I think he may well be loaned out at a higher level in the second half of the season. Rangers have just handed the two of them extended contracts, I think until 2022. Big pay rises as well because they were still on the youth contracts, and I would hope both players would come through, because regardless what team you support, the more young Scottish players that come through, the better. You know, over at Celtic, everyone's been delighted to see Kieran Tierney coming through. Daz spoke earlier in the show about Anthony Ralston, who could come through on the other side. So Celtic are bringing through their own. James Forrest, a product of the Celtic Academy, might well be Player of the Year this year. But Rangers now have brought through Ross McCrory. Robbie McCrory may well follow. You look at the bench at the weekend, Ryan Hardy was there, Jamie Barjonas, or Barjonas, however you pronounce it, who looks a talented young lad. He played well in the game against Motherwell when he came on. David Bates, albeit David Bates was a signing from Raith. So there are young players coming through. I would be delighted if Ross McCrory went on and fulfilled all his potential. And if Ross McCrory went on and fulfilled what Pedro Kashina said about him, that he's going to be Scotland's centre-half for years to come.
Gordon, I think to address Colin's point, Ross McCrory, as good as he's been, I don't think he's even reached 20 appearances yet. So that's probably why. It's not people saying that they don't like him or they don't rate him. It's just about trying to sort of manage expectations and give that praise when the time is right.
He's just broken into the team, Gordon, and he went in at centre-half, and I thought it was a good move by the Rangers manager to move him forward. And I think he's been excellent in there. You know, he's a fit lad. He can get about the pitch. He's good. He's a good, strong tackler. He can use the ball when he gets it. He's got plenty of composure. And he'll only get better, because you're right, he's not even played, what?
I think it's about 18 appearances or something like that.
Yeah. So he's only going to get better with experience. He's only going to get better playing week in and week out. He's probably the first name in the team sheet now. He's playing that well. But as I said, I thought the best bit about it was moving him from the centre half position into a midfield player. I think that's where he's more comfortable.
Let's come back in, Colin.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got to remember, this boy's only 19 as well. But see, Gordon, you were saying about where do you want at your club.
Yep.
I would like to see Rangers gone for, I'm sure it's B Boy Docherty at Hamilton.
Greg Docherty, Roger, I think he's been catching the eye this season.
The boy Docherty is terrific. He's very, very good. And one of the callers earlier on mentioned John McGinn for Celtic. I was at Easter Road on Saturday for Super Scoreboard, Hibs versus Kilmarnock. John McGinn against Yusuf Malumbu was absolutely fantastic watching. If John McGinn leaves Hibs, I said to somebody on Saturday, Hibs should sign Greg Docherty, because Greg Docherty is coming on leaps and bounds at Hamilton. Great goal again against Motherwell at the weekend. Sorry, Gordon. He has a move in him. He'll do very, very well. Could he go to Rangers? He could certainly add something, I think, to the Rangers squad. Yep, definitely, Colin.
Okay, thanks to Colin in Easterhouse. Looks like that will be your final call of the evening. Time pretty much upon us, so we're looking for one more answer on John Smith's teaser. He's looking for the remaining manager who's managed in Scotland and is the only person from his country to do so. You've got Marcio Maximo, you've got Eb Skovdal, Ivano Bonetti, Dick Advocaat, Ronnie Dyla, Shabba Laszlo and Korobotchka of Hearts. One more. And I'm surprised you haven't got it, Roger, purely because you rhymed off a couple of other managers from this club. A fairly big club in these parts.
Hearts? No.
Not too far from here.
Clyde Bang.
Okay, it's Celtic. I'll just cut to the chase because we're running out of time.
A Celtic manager in this era.
You mentioned when...
Dr. Joe.
Well done, Joe Vinglos, the only Slovakian to manage here. Well done to Roger Hanna. Thank you to Gordon Diel as well. Big thank you to everyone who listened on tonight's programme. Big thanks to those of you who got through in the phone lines and on Twitter as well. I'll be back tomorrow night, Wednesday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Mark Guidi and James McFadden from 6.